Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast is sponsored by MediHealth. Are you in midlife, feeling dismissed, unheard, or just plain tired of the old healthcare system? You're not alone. For too long, women's serious midlife health issues have been trivialized, ignored, and met with a just-deal-with-it attitude. Today, 75% of women seeking care for menopause and perimenopause issues are left entirely untreated. It's time for a change. It's time for MIDI. MIDI is a women's telehealth clinic founded and supported by world-class leaders. MIDI is the only women's telehealth brand covered by major insurance companies, making high-quality, expert care accessible and affordable. MIDI offers a full range of personalized solutions, from hormonal therapies and weight loss protocols to lifestyle coaching and preventative health guidance. At MIDI, you will join patients who feel seen and heard. MIDI's mission is to help all women thrive in midlife, giving them access to the healthcare they deserve. Because MIDI believes midlife isn't the middle at all. It is the beginning of your second act. Ready to write your second act script? Visit joinmidi.com today. That's joinmidi.com. MIDI, the care women deserve.
When did making plans get this complicated? It's time to streamline with WhatsApp, the secure messaging app that brings the whole group together. Use polls to settle dinner plans, send event invites and pin messages so no one forgets mom's 60th, and never miss a meme or milestone, all protected with end-to-end encryption. It's time for WhatsApp. Message privately with everyone. Learn more at whatsapp.com.
This episode is brought to you by Jack Daniels. Jack Daniels and music are made for each other. They share a rhythm in the craft of making something timeless, while being a part of legendary nights. From backyard jams to sold-out arenas, there's a song in every toast. Please drink responsibly. Responsibility.org. Jack Daniels and Old No. 7 are registered trademarks. Tennessee Whiskey, 40% alcohol by volume. Jack Daniel Distillery, Lynchburg, Tennessee.
Hey, Bills Mafia. We know there's only one topic every day. All Bills, all the time. And now Matt Bove and Sal Capaccio are going really deep, talking Bills all year long, because it's always game day in Buffalo.
All right, let's start this pod with two different things. Video, audio, doesn't matter. Number one, we did not coordinate.
We're basically the exact same thing.
Sorry, Matt wasn't on the mic there.
We're basically wearing the exact same thing.
We are. I have my my quarter zip. It's a white one. I don't know. What do we call this type of?
Periwinkle.
Periwinkle?
That's the color I think I got.
Okay.
I don't know. I got it from the PGA Championship a couple years ago. It's got
I have mine. I could have got the logo and put it on mine, but it's like literally we saw each other. I'm like, wait a minute. Are we wearing the same thing today?
Basically.
What's the it's like a fleece, right?
Yeah,
I'd say.
A light long sleeve, a little windy, a little chilly to start the day. Honestly, absolutely perfect weather. Unbelievable.
I do like this color on you.
Thank
looks good.
Very much. Fall is elite here in Western New York, so we need to enjoy it while we can. This is beautiful.
It is a bit windy, so if you see a shaking, that's because the computer and the laptop we're using, it's shaking a little bit. We apologize. You know what? Let me try and put this little thing here. Yeah. Put bottled water there. That'll hold it. Okay, second thing is, Matt and I were like, we were ready to come out here, and this might describe like the age difference I have to ask you. So I said to you, I said, hey, same place, right? You said, yeah. And I thought, you know, I should have said same bat time, same bat channel. But I don't know if Matt would get that reference. Would you get that reference?
I'm assuming it's a Batman thing, but I don't get it at all.
Okay, it is a Batman thing, because when I was a kid growing up, Batman cartoon, well, it's not cartoon. It was Batman, right? Mm-hmm. And maybe he's even the cartoon. But anyway, on Batman, at the end, it would say, catch us again next week. Same bat time, same bat channel.
Yeah, no, we didn't have any of that. That's definitely not something I've ever heard in my life. I would have understood what you meant, but I would have probably just ignored it and not thought about it much other than, okay, let's go to the exact same place.
Yeah, so people don't say it as much, but it was a thing for a long time, as people know. Same bat time, same bat channel. We are here at the same bat channel on YouTube, but not at the same look. We have the current stadium in the background, which is where the Bills will play Sunday night against the New England Patriots. Before we get into all the news of the day, we just saw the Bills wearing their Nike rivalry helmets at practice.
Phenomenal. Like, and I was not somebody who loved them when they were originally unveiled. The attention to detail, they are so clean. This is daylight that we're watching them practice in at night under the lights. I think they're going to look even crisper and sharper. The one thing I'll say is that there was a lot of detail to the helmets, but I don't know how much of that will be seen from a broadcast angle. So it might not look as really meticulous as it did out there today, but I was really, really, I liked them so much more than I thought I would.
You'll either have to buy a helmet or a mini helmet or something to get more of the detail. But same thing on the jerseys. We don't see the jerseys today because they're wearing practice jerseys. But what we do see today is the offense wearing white because they wear the color of what they'll wear in the game. And in those white jerseys, you can kind of get a feel of what the white on white's going to look like.
Yeah, and it looks nice. It looks clean. I mean, when they announced the jerseys, I was like, oh, this looks like the UB jersey that they wear with the white and blue helmet and the white jersey and everything. It's a clean look. It's a very college football look. Honestly, I don't say that as a bad thing. The helmet with the jersey is a very college football look and feel, and that's okay.
So the Bills will wear those jerseys when they take on the Patriots on Sunday Night Football. Another night game here at Highmark Stadium. Another division game in the Bills today, getting some very key players back for this divisional rivalry game. Now, will they play on Sunday? I think that's the question. But let's talk about what we saw today from Ed Oliver, Matt Milano, and Spencer Brown, three guys who all missed last week. Milano and Oliver missing the last few weeks. And, of course, in Oliver's situation, he's missed three games. Matt Milano's missed two games. None of them in a red non-contact jersey, which I think is very encouraging.
I think there were a lot of steps in the right direction today with, first off, the fact that they're all practicing in some capacity, second, that they're not in a red non-contact jersey, and just third, from being out in practice and kind of watching only the portions that we're allowed to watch, I did not get a sense from that part, even though they are only individuals, that anybody was being held back or being used sparingly. The other thing that's really interesting about the Matt Milano point is that Dorian Williams did miss practice with a leg injury on Wednesday. So, you know, does Dorian Williams come out and Matt Milano slides back in? We shall see. But I think a really, really good sign. I never doubted that Spencer Brown was going to play. I feel like he was going to play for sure. Ed Oliver, I was more confident in than Matt Milano just from the timeline. But I'm getting the sense right now, like, I will be surprised if at least two of them do not play. Like, I'm thinking two of the three are going to play and there's a chance all three play.
I agree with you. I think Milano's a little ahead of Oliver from what I saw today, meaning watching him do work. Oliver didn't have a brace on or anything like that, but I will tell you, when we saw him, even Sunday at the game on the sidelines, he was still limping pretty good. And that gave me, ooh, like, I don't know if he's going to play. Now, practicing today, he looked like he was doing everything, but we'll see. But I just felt from that, and of course, for Matt, it's a pec, right? It's not legs, and he was moving around fine. But when I saw him today, he was attacking the bag, tackling it, and that showed me, okay, everything seems like it's full range.
One thing that I would say, though, is that Ed Oliver would be coming back in a more rotational role, where it looks like Milano would be coming back in a much more like, okay, you're the starter, go out there, you're going to play. I don't see them doing a rotation, especially if Dorian Williams isn't available. So that's why I would still say I feel more confident with Oliver, just because he could come back and play 40% of the snaps. Whereas Milano, I don't think they would do that. I don't think they would bring him back to play a smaller piece of the defense.
I think it's a good point. One area where they definitely have missed Matt Milano, I did some numbers the other day. Quarterback scrambles have really hurt the Bills. Milano is generally a quarterback spy, not all the time, but he has been a spy on Lamar Jackson, on Bo Nix in the playoffs last year. He's been a spy on Patrick Mahomes. The Bills, they'll use Dorian Williams like that, but Matt Milano is really unique when it comes to dissecting and understanding and taking angles and all those kinds of things. This is another quarterback that is very smart and athletic, and Drake May, who can extend plays with his legs. I think it would be very, very important to have Milano back.
Unequivocally, the second best quarterback they've played this year. Do we agree with that, right?
Yes. I mean, I guess, because I think Tua is a good quarterback.
I think Tua is a good quarterback, but I think Tua has limitations to his game. I think Drake May can do a lot of different things well. It feels like that is a player that is ascending, where Tua is a player that is descending. I think that this is going to be a challenge for the Bills. And the other thing that's really interesting is that I didn't know this until we had our Sean McDermott press conference earlier today. Sean was asked a question about how efficient the Patriots are on third down.
Shout out to Chris Brown, who brought it up.
Chris Brown, who brought it up, said they're the most efficient offense in the NFL on third down. he didn't frame it this way, but the Bills have not been the most efficient defense on third down.
I think what he said was Drake May has been the best quarterback on third down. I don't know if the Patriots have – they could have the best third down percentage, but he said Drake May has been the best third down quarterback.
Yeah, very efficient, it seems like. So that's, for the Bills, going to be something that they need to figure out. How can they get off the field? And I think a lot of that will be predicated off if they can get to him. And also, if they don't get to him, is Matt Milano or somebody else there to bring him down? Because Spencer Rattler was able to, on several occasions, drop back, not have anything, run it up the middle, gain 13 yards, first down. That's what the Bills need to make sure doesn't happen. Because I do think that this is, like I said, the second most dangerous offense they have played up to this point.
The Bills do that to teams a lot with Josh Allen, and it's been happening to them with a quarterback getting loose. Here are the numbers that I broke down. 11 scrambles by opposing quarterbacks this year, 128 yards on those scrambles, over 11 yards a carry, a scramble. Out of the 11, Matt, 7 have resulted in first downs. Now, not all on third down, but it does impact the third down percentage when it happens, of course. That just allows drives to continue. The Bills have actually, for the most part, been good on first and second down, but you want to point to third down defense? Part of it is allowing teams to have busted plays like that.
Yeah, and I think that part of it is going to improve when you get a player like Milano back and a player like Ed Oliver back, because I think the pressure would be more, I guess, prevalent when you have a player like Ed Oliver kind of wreaking havoc from the middle of the field. So these are things that I do anticipate to improve. But Drake May, like, if you haven't watched a lot of Patriots football, he is really mobile. Like, he can move around. He can get out of trouble. So I feel like this week it's going to be really, really a kind of point of emphasis to make sure, like, you do not let that happen continuously. It's going to happen at some point. He will scramble for a first down, and it's going to happen. You just can't let it happen all the time to extend these drives.
The Patriots have had some ball security issues. The Bills will certainly be aware of that, just like the Steelers were, and turned the Patriots over 5 times when they played against them. They also have, by the way, the special teams player of the week for the second time this year, and it's a different guy. It was already Antonio Gibson, and now this week it's Marcus Jones, who, by the way, averaged 55 yards a punt return, 3 punt returns, 167 yards, an 87-yard punt return. This guy is dynamic, and the Bills are going to have to be very aware of where he is. Here's a question for you. Do you think the Bills, because he's really good on kick returns too, do you think the Bills would consider just kicking into the end zone and giving them the ball at the 35?
I don't. Just because it feels like that has not been their MO so far this season. It has been Prater trying to pin it between the 10 and the 5, try and pin them back. And almost every time it has resulted into a big, relatively speaking, return to about the 35. Like, it feels like most of the time that is where the opposing team is starting their drives. But there have been a couple that have been bigger returns, like in the Dolphins game. The first opening kickoff of the day was returned to, I think, just past the 50. It really set the Dolphins. I feel like the risk is greater than the reward when you just kick it. Like, I would just be trying to kick it into the end zone and just living with those 35-yard starts. I feel like that's a better play than risking it and say, hey, well, we might tackle them at the 25 or the 30. You really haven't proven that you can do that a lot. I think you just take the medicine, you know, swallow the medicine and go to the 35.
Now, that's on kicks, but of course, punts is where Marcus Jones, you know, made his name last week and why he's the special teams player of the week. And the Bills have a new punter, so they're going to be having a new punter against the Patriots' excellent returner, Marcus Jones. And that new punter is Mitch Wishnowsky.
Yep.
He wears number 19 out here, right-footed punter. I say that because it matters these days. We talk about righty and lefties, but also a guy that actually has a really big leg. He actually, he was in a Ray Guy Award. I think he actually won the Ray Guy or was finalist in college, broke some records over at Utah. And even in the NFL, he, I think like a couple of years ago, was top 10 in the league in yards per punt.
The one thing I'm going to say is that the fact that they've had to go through punters the way they have is not ideal, right? And especially given the circumstances with the injuries that they've had. Chase Johnston was not doing Cam Johnston had not done enough to, like, flat out win the competition anyway. There was nobody he was here competing against, but for somebody who was supposed to have a stronger leg, he had not started those first couple games with a super impressive, like, hey, these are booming long kicks. They were starting, what, on average, like almost near the 50, the Saints. I know that the field position in that game was a huge advantage for the Saints. So this is another chance to bring in somebody, see what they have. I really don't know what we're, like, right now, the punting game has been inconsistent and not very good. So keep trying to do something new. keep trying with somebody else until you find somebody that sticks.
Do you remember when we used to have all those talks about the holder and how much it mattered? That doesn't seem to have mattered at this point with new punters coming in.
No, well, it also doesn't matter because we talked about that specifically with Tyler Bass, who isn't back yet. None of the injured reserved players, by the way, have had their windows open. So no Tyler Bass, no Max Hairston, no Tylan Grable. That was like the negative side of the injury news, even though there was much more positive injury news on Wednesday. Yeah, but that the kicker, the holder conversation always felt like it was tied to Bass. Because that one year when they switched punters, his numbers dropped and everybody was trying to figure out what was the reason behind it. And I think he just was struggling. I really don't think it probably had too much to do with the holder.
That was Bohorquez, right? Who was one year and then somebody else the next year, Sam Martin came in.
Well, it was Bohorquez and it was Matt Araiza.
Matt Araiza for any regular season.
No, then it went to Sam Martin, yeah. I believe, was the punter. And then he was here.
Who was the other guy? Was it before Sam Martin? Oh, Moore? Who was the guy? It was right before. I'm going to look at it now. I got to look it up. The Bills? Somebody's going to know it. This is why you pay attention to the show. We know it. And now I can't think Moore, right? The guy's name was Moore. Was it? I'm getting mad at myself and I'm going to look it up. Who was the Bills punter just a few years ago? All right. Before that happens, let me give you some operational. Matt's going to look it up. Uh-huh. Okay. And while he does that, I'm going to give you a couple operational things here. Michael Hoyt and Larry Ogunjobi. I had even said a while ago they would be eligible to practice after 4 weeks. That was incorrect because my information, the way I understood it.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
The CBA and everything was incorrect. So my apologies for those of you who say, why aren't these guys practicing after 4 weeks? The way it works is because they're on the PED suspension list, they were able to come back to the facility after 3 weeks because their suspension is 6 weeks. Halfway through their suspension.
Matt Hawk,
not Moore.
Yeah.
I was thinking of Matt Moore, the quarterback.
Spelled H-A-A-C-K, Matt Hawk. Yes.
There you go. Yes. But they've gone through a few of them.
Yeah.
You guys are like, listen to this right now on your iTunes or whatever, going, Matt Hawk, you guys, come on. Yeah. Come on, you cover the team for a damn living. How do you not know that?
There was another guy named Matt Darr who was here in 2018. He only punted in 5 games. So it went Colton Schmidt to Matt Darr to Corey Bohorquez to Matt Hawk to Sam Martin to Brad Robbins to Cameron Johnston. Now, too.
I'm telling you, punter might be a spot they even draft next year, actually, to be quite honest with you. So Hoyt and Ogunjobi. Just to clarify how it works, they were back in the building last week, halfway through the suspension. They can't practice until the suspension is over after 6 games, but it does give them 2 weeks, essentially, even though the team won't officially be practicing because it's a bye week. They'll have 2 weeks before their next game after that. So that's when they can come back. So they're not on the field yet. We did see the guys that Matt talked about earlier at Oliver, Spencer Brown, Matt Milano, Dorian Williams. We did not see Max Hairston on the field with trainers today, though. We didn't see that. That had been something we were seeing.
No, we had seen that for a while, but I'm not going to read that as a red flag. Right. I'm going to say he could be doing something else or something even more intense, maybe off to a different part of the facility that we were just not able to see. So I think given the circumstance, right, it doesn't feel like this is going to be an immediate thing. I would be surprised if we found out anything before the bye week with Hairston or even at this point, Tylan Grable. You know, this has been something that has lingered for a while now. So I feel like that's going to be something that we circle back to after the bye. If it happens before then, that'll be a pleasant surprise, I would say.
At Sierra, discover great deals on top brand workout gear, like high quality walking shoes, which might lead to another discovery.
40,000 steps, baby. Who's on top now, Karen?
You've taken the office step challenge a step too far. Don't worry, though. Sierra also has yoga gear. It might be a good place to find your Zen. Discover top brands at unexpectedly low prices. Sierra, let's get moving.
Doug. Limu and I always tell you to customize your car insurance and save hundreds with Liberty Mutual. But now, we want you to feel it. Cue the emu music, Limu.
Save yourself money today. Increase your wealth. Customize and save, we say.
That may have been too much feeling.
Only pay for what you need at LibertyMutual.com.
Liberty, 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 Liberty.
Savings vary. Underwritten by Liberty Mutual Insurance Company and affiliates. Excludes Massachusetts.
Hey, I'm Jeremy White.
And I'm Joe DiBiase.
And we host Jeremy and Joe, your daily destination for Buffalo sports talk.
All Bills, all Sabres, all the time.
Whether it's roster moves, game previews, or breaking news, we've got the insight and info fans want.
Thoughtful analysis, bold opinions, and plenty of Buffalo energy.
We break it all down and have some fun along the way.
Follow and listen to Jeremy and Joe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. New episodes every weekday.
Okay, what about on the other side of the punt game? Return. We saw Brandon Codrington inactive. You said something very interesting the other night on the pod when we did it. You said maybe Sunday was a good day for Codrington because it just showed that no one else can really take the reins. I don't disagree with that, but I also don't know how they're going to fit that. Like, what does that look like on the roster? And Sean McDermott was very interesting when he was talking about, like, trying to get some guys some opportunity. And it kind of felt like we had a person on the podcast comment this. It kind of felt like he was trying to see what the roster looks like going forward because decisions have to be made.
I still go back to the playoff game last year, and this has been a place where we have disagreed a little bit. I feel like when he was inactive in those playoff games, it kind of told us what we needed to know about how much they trust Brandon Codrington. They didn't have a better option pop up, so that is why, because of the suspensions to Hoyt, Ogunjobi, and the other injuries that they were going through, it felt like he still got a spot on this 53-man roster. I would say right now he would be the most likely person they move on from when they have to open up two roster spots for Hoyt and Ogunjobi when they come back. Right now, I would guess it's probably Codrington and maybe Jamarcus Ingram, and then you bank on trying to get Jamarcus Ingram back on your practice squad and then potentially elevating him if you need somebody to play, if you have another cornerback injury. So that would be my guess. As for who does it, I think it's just going to be a continuation of, okay, we'll see what works, we'll see what doesn't work, which would be Ty Johnson, which would be Ray Davis, Elijah Moore, Curtis Samuel, Khalil Shakir. I think Shakir will be the guy on punts. And then the kicking will be a rotation of some of those guys we just mentioned.
I don't disagree with him. As much as I'm the number one, hey, Brandon Codrington has a spot, they trust him guy. Mm-hmm. I just don't see how the numbers work for him because he doesn't offer you anything in the secondary. And because it is a spot where that's the one thing he does, and it's, you know, maybe 2-3 times a game, and you have other guys who can do it, as much as I've been the person saying you can't do that, I think you almost have to do that at this point just because you don't have any other options of where you're going to kind of trim the fat from the roster.
And the other thing that we have gone back to is how Hoyt is kind of going to step into the role that Javon Solomon has been playing. You know, I was having a conversation on our Monday show leading the charge with Howard Simon and Joe Biscaglia, and we were talking about this a little bit. Based off the conversation I had with them, it feels like getting Solomon to the practice squad would be riskier than Jamarcus Ingram. I think we all collectively agreed. I think Jamarcus Ingram would be somebody you could bring back, right? UB product, undrafted, knows this defense, but probably isn't a name really outside of Western New York as much maybe as Javon Solomon was. Also, just Javon Solomon is still a newer player, right? He was a draft pick last year. I think teams might see the talent and go, ooh, that's something we want to try and bet on. So that is why I'm leaning towards those being the guys that they move on from, assuming there's not other injuries, right? There might be other injuries that happen between now and then the Bills will have to pivot it in some other way.
It'll be interesting to see this week how much maybe that factors into who's active this week, considering what we said about the Patriots in the return game. A guy like Jamarcus Ingram, you might feel you want on special teams to run down and cover kicks,
yeah.
Right? This week might be a week he's active if someone like Dorian Williams isn't. Doesn't it have to be a linebacker for a linebacker?
Yeah, it just has to be kind of a specialist for a specialist so they can find somebody to do that special teams role. So, yeah, I mean, I think that right now the Bills are getting a little bit healthier. I think they've still got a little bit of a ways to go, but also look around the league.
Yeah.
Everybody deals with this all year. So, like, all things considered, the Bills are really, really healthy.
Yeah, I tweeted out the injuries today from Sean McDermott saying one guy's going to be out, Dorian Williams, and then yet everybody else is practicing except a few guys limited. Someone replied like, oh, here we go with injuries again. I'm like, dude, they have one person on the entire active roster not practicing. Uh-huh. Lots of teams would do anything to have that right now. Yeah. Imagine being the Baltimore Ravens. They lose Humphrey for the year. They've now lost
Humphrey out for the year.
I'm sorry, for weeks, several weeks. Some Metabique. Is that how you say his name? Metabique. He's out for the year. And Lamar Jackson might miss a couple of weeks. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, and Roquan Smith, I think, also got hurt in that game. And Ronnie Stanley.
I mean, they're in a bad spot right now, and they have a bit of a tougher schedule coming up. And this might be like a real tough spot for a team like the Ravens to try and keep pace. As much as we all said, it's the Ravens, and that's a team that, you know, they're going to be there at the end. Boy, they can't keep losing much ground.
Let's get to, is there any other injury stuff or specific? We're going to do another podcast later in this week to kind of specifically go over the matchup with the Patriots. Can we get to the most polarizing thing we will talk about? And I think the most polarizing thing that people will comment on.
I'm scared to know what you're going to say.
I am fascinated to know what the reaction to Stephon Diggs coming. It is going to be that man is going to get booed in the stadium. I'm not denying that or doubting that. I wonder how much it is. I also think that's the fuel to a fire for a guy like that. I feel like if you don't want Stephon Diggs to be a big factor in this game, clap and cheer for him, maybe more than boo him, because it feels like that would light up. It is so, for 4 years, he was unequivocally the second most beloved member of this team. He is a huge reason why they went from being a really good team to a great team for several years. I know it was a messy breakup. I know that there's got to be some drama and some bad blood, but it's really, really interesting to me because Mac Hollins is going to come back and be universally loved. And that was for 1 year in some fun repair videos on Instagram. Stephon Diggs is one of the greatest Bills players of all time. Receivers, not players, but receivers of all time. So I'm really interested to see how his reception.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Is
the Patriots receiving this year after Stephon Diggs? They don't have a lot going on at receiver.
Hunter Henry
is a tight end. Trayvon Henderson is a running back. Ramondre Stevenson is a running back. That is their next three pass catchers. Diggs with 19, then 15, 13, 11. Then you get to Keyshawn Booty. I think that's how you say his name. Boot. 10 for 165. And then, I mean, Hooper's a tight end. Holland's 7 for 42. That's it on the season. So here's my question. The reason I bring this up. The Bills have actually done a pretty good job, mostly. There's been a game here, a game there, which isn't true. Shutting down a team's receiver and focusing, like Tyreek Hill or someone like that. Yeah. Is that what they're going to do this week, you think?
I don't know. I don't think that they're going to be uncharacteristic to what they normally do for... Admittedly, Stephon Diggs is a very, very, very good player, but he is still an older player who is coming off of an injury. That game got really out of hand against the Panthers. I mean, a lot of people had big numbers in that game because the Patriots scored more than 40 points, right? Somebody was going to have big numbers. I don't think the Bills need to reinvent the wheel with trying to stop this defense. I think the big things here are making sure that you try and get to Drake May. You're more efficient on third down. Like, I don't think this is a game where Benford is following Diggs. I just don't see that happening in a game like this. I think that it'll be Benford does his thing, and you know there's going to be times when Diggs is on Trey White. He's going to win some of them, but Trey might win one or two of them too, which is going to be really fun because when they were both in their prime, watching that in practice every day was just pure cinema.
Have you looked at the box score from the Patriots-Panthers game last week?
No, but
I want you to look at this for a second. I have it up. I mean, look at this. This is, I'm going to read it to everybody. First downs, Carolina edge 21 to 16. Third downs, 5 of 14 against 3 of 9. That's fine. Total yards, Panthers 326, New England only 307. Rushing yards, only 104 for the Patriots, 129 for the Carolina Panthers. Passing yards, there's only a 6 difference between the two. It's actually, I have no idea how the score got to 42-13 and no turnovers.
It's a little bit like the Saints and Seahawks game from 2 weeks ago where it just got really, really out of hand.
Yeah, that's one big one.
Right, an 87-yard punt return for a touchdown in the first quarter. That's one way to kind of flip a game around. So, yeah, I mean, like, listen, the Patriots are good. I don't think that they're great, but I think that they're good. I think that they're the clearly second-best team in the AFC East.
Outside of Diggs last week, 6 catches, 101 yards, 2 catches by wide receivers. This is a tight end group. This is a tight end team. They rely a lot on their tight ends. I was watching the Patriots play the Steelers a few weeks ago when the Bills weren't playing on that Sunday, and it was a lot of Hunter Henry. They're going to throw to the tight end this week a lot. They're also going to throw screen passes.
I think so, too. Travion Henderson is a really interesting player because Travion Henderson had all of the summer buzz of this guy is going to be a game changer, and he is going to be electric. Then, when the season started, they kind of did a really weird rotation with Ramondre Stevenson and Antonio Gibson and Travion Henderson. And then in the Steelers game, Ramondre Stevenson, he had multiple fumbles. Antonio Gibson, he had a fumble. So now Travion Henderson has kind of carved out a bigger role. This is going to be a chance for him to have a coming out party. I think of the running backs, he will be the guy who gets the most touches in this game, especially because he's about as dynamic as they get. All right, let's see. So in the last game against the Panthers, Stevenson had 9 carries. Henderson had 7 carries. Gibson had 6 carries. So a pretty even pretty even workload. And then Henderson had the 2 catches there. So, yeah, I mean, that's the names to watch for the Patriots offense are Hunter Henry, Stephon Diggs, and Travion Henderson. Those are the big three for New England that their kind of offense goes by.
And Drake May is second on the team in carries with 24 carries behind Ramondre Stevenson. One thing they do also is put the ball on the ground. They've turned the ball over. The Bills will be very aware of that. They did that 5 times against the Steelers, and Bill and Steelers players even said they knew that. They were very aware of that. All right, so this week, a lot more to get to here, and we're going to hopefully tap into somebody from New England to talk with him as well, and we'll get a little bit more on the Bills and the Patriots. A little bit windy today. If you're watching today, we have another nice sunny day, and guess what's going to happen on Sunday? 80 degrees during the day here in Orchard Park.
Snow rivalries jerseys, which is really, really just kind of perfect, and it's hilarious. But there's a good reason, because this is a question that I think somebody had posed. So for the Bills, they had to wear the rivalries jersey in an AFC East game, right? Yep. They weren't going to wear the rivalries jerseys in the final game in the regular season ever inside the stadium. By process of elimination, it had to be Thursday night against the Dolphins, yep, or this Sunday night game against the Patriots. I think they were like, okay, let's go a little bit more into the season, a little bit more into the fall. We'll see what we get. I'm sure the Bills are thrilled that they're going to have another nice weather game. It's just going to be kind of funny to watch jerseys with like ice and snow on them in an 80-degree Sunday night game and Sunday night football.
I think, though, you know what? When you think of Buffalo, that's what you think of, and winter is coming at some point. It's kind of like, this is what we do here, but you're right. It's going to be a nice weather game. Hey, I will never complain about nice weather on the sidelines. I'll tell you that. I don't care what the uniforms are.
I'm never going to complain about nice weather. Roll the sunroof down, drive into the stadium, listen to the playlist, get the vibes going. We've been very spoiled. 4 of the first 5 games at home is very, very, like, ridiculous. And then a trip to Atlanta, and then the bye week. So it's crazy how it's already – I mean, the byes have already started in the NFL, so we're at that point in the calendar.
And maybe if you're driving around Western New York, you can hear Matt, you know, and watch him singing as he's driving around me as well. All right, thanks a lot to our producer, Mike Rabier. Thank you for watching, and as always – oh, by the way, we surpassed 14,000 subscribers on YouTube. So thank you very much for everybody who got us there. Let's get to 15,000 at Sal Sports on YouTube, on the video side, and, of course, audio wherever you pod.
Bye.
What's up, guys? I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. We're heading towards the home stretch of the WNBA season, and there is so much to get into every episode. Twice a week, I'm joined by one of my amazing co-hosts as we dissect the biggest games, performances, and even some off-court drama. The playoffs are quickly approaching, and now is the best time to tune in. Who will come away as this year's champion? The competition is heating up, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.